So I thought this morning we'd get a head start on next week, which is daylight savings time. And so what I thought we would do is we would turn the clocks back now, because then we'll all be set and ready for next week. And plus, that way, if I have like too much material, it'll seem like I'm done way early, even if I go way long, you know? Brilliant. Man, this guy is thinking, right? No, I'm serious. Let's turn the clock. So last week, we spent some time, and we looked at John chapter 13. And in that process, you recall where we were at. We found that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. He had just shown them the full extent of his love by getting down and washing their feet, including Judas, who he then, after the washing of the feet, basically said, you're going to betray me. Go and do what you're going to do. Get that done, taken care of. And so he's left with the 11. And we find that as he's left with the 11, then he gets to this intimate time, and he's kind of laying out this, all right, you guys, these are my last words. This is my discourse that I'm going to kind of present you with before I have to go. And in that process, he says several things. He says, I'm going to be going, and where I'm going, you cannot follow. And then he goes in and lays out this new command to them. And he says, a new command I'm giving to you, and that's to love one another as I have loved you. And so we spent some time talking about that last week. We talked about how Christ was the model. We talked about how he is the standard by which the love that he showed them, he's the standard by which we are supposed to show love to other people. And we dealt with this idea that we wanted to experience the love that he has for us so that we can express the love that he has to others, that he has given to us. We experience his love first, and then when we have experienced the love that he has for us, as the disciples did, then we are free to express that love. But oftentimes, as followers of Christ, we tend to, all right, I want to experience it, and then I want to experience it, and then, well, I'd like to experience it. And we kind of stagnate right there, and I understand why, because his love is great. His love is deep and his love is rich, and we find ourselves, I want to enter into that. And oftentimes we as followers of Christ, we stop here and we forget this new command that he's laid out to us. And that's what we were talking about last week, and that is to, now we need to express the love that he has shown to us. And then we talked about how that love that he is calling us to show, it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice of time. It takes risk. It takes risk of vulnerability to be able to present that to others. And so we see that in the midst, and this is where I want to take us today. We see in the midst, and we glanced over it real quickly last week. We look at the scripture and how Jesus says, okay, I'm going to be going, and where I'm going, you cannot follow. But a new command I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. Well, I sense that at that moment when he said, I'm going to be going, something triggers, and we see it here, in Peter's mind. You guys remember LPs? Records, vinyl, okay? You with me on this? Okay, I know for those who are, say, younger than 35, what these were, Dave, how old are you? You know all about this then, don't you? Right. Anyway, so what they used to have is they used to have these big black discs, and you would put them on this table, and they would turn. Joey knows all about this. I know I talked about Joey last time. He's very knowledgeable in a variety of meaningless things, this being one of them, okay? And so anyway, you take these big black discs and you lay them on this table and you turn the power on and this table starts to turn it, okay? And then you have this needle and you carefully lay the needle because the needles are very brittle, right? And they break, and when they break, they're nowadays are pretty tough to replace because nobody has these anymore. Anyway, so you set this needle on there and you hear this sound like a and right? Okay? Yeah! Anyway, and then this music starts. You can tell when the warped ones, whoosh, whoosh, okay. And then, because you can't get them hot. You got to keep them, you know, flat and dry and all that stuff, okay? Anyway, you guys are like, some of you are going like, oh, what's wrong with that? I still use those. Others are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm totally disconnected right now. Anyway, so you have these needles and you send it on there. And then eventually, after the whoosh, 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 we have music that starts to play. Or in some cases, you know, someone talking, like if they have actually taken the time to record what they were saying on one of these things. They do. Anyway, so you have music starts to play, and I've been at Joey's house, and these are not Joey's records. You know, they are Greg's records. And Joey would take some of Greg's records. Sorry, I dated Greg. Not like that. That's totally, no. You misunderstood. That's not where I was going with that. That's weird. Okay, so anyway, so he sets one of his Petra records on. You guys heard of Petra? Some of you are going like, again, I'm not tracking with you one bit. I have no idea what you're talking about. Others of you, so you have this age thing, like say probably 20. Michaela, how old are you? 21. Do you know Petra? Okay, good. Okay, so we'll go 20 and younger. You have no idea what I'm talking about. And then we have this window of 20 to say, I won't say how old you are, Greg, but, you know, 50s, okay? 52? All right, thank you, Joey. So 52 that know all about Petra, and then you have this genre of, like, say, 55 and plus, who, again, you lost me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, you're good. Well, you know music, though. You're an exception to the rule. Okay. Anyway, back to my story. So he puts on Petra. You know, you guys heard Petra. Love is a color. Anyway, so we have this music going on. Enjoy. It's just like it brought me back a little bit to my high school, early high school days when, I mean, Petra was great. I used to drive a 74 Nova. Some of you are going, yeah, sweet card. Not really. This was nothing to be excited about, really, okay? Half of the car was gone from rust. You know, just, anyway, when it would snow inside and not necessarily outside. So I had this amplifier that I had bought from my uncle. I never really paid him for it, so does that still count as buying? I'm not sure. Anyway, I got this amplifier, and I plugged this amplifier into a cassette player. Now, I graduated from records. We used to take records and record them onto cassettes. That's how bad it was, okay? Now we just, you know, grab and drag and put in, here's my music right here. Anyway, so I put it onto cassettes, and so I plug in these cassettes in my Nova, and then I had this amplifier. Well, the speakers that I have in there, they're only like 5-6 inches. That's not going to handle it. So I took these big house speakers out of my dad's basement, and I seatbelted them into the Nova. And then I would drive down the road, and I rolled down the windows because we didn't have, we had to roll down the windows. And then I would play Petra. That's the whole point here. I would play Petra as loud as the radio would go. Driving down the road. I know, it's pretty lame, isn't it? Anyway. So that's all to say nothing, except for the fact that you know how a record, when you take that needle and you've heard the sound effect, or just slide it across, or it's like everything just comes to a screeching halt. I think that's kind of what happened in Peter's mind right here. When Jesus said, I'm going, I think we hear that record scratching, and we have Peter come to a, whoa! And I think Jesus could have said anything at that moment. He could have said, Peter, I'm sending you to the future, October 21st, 2015. I think he could have said that to Peter. I know some of you go, I don't know what you're saying. Others go, I have no idea what he's talking about. Anyway, so they could have done that, and I think Peter would have totally missed it. It's something dramatic like that, because he stopped his comprehension, his whole interaction, I think just totally stopped as soon as Jesus said, I'm going. Whoa. I think he misses the new command, at least at this time. I think he misses everything that Jesus is saying there. Because we follow up, and this is where we're going to kind of pick it up here this morning. So if you don't have your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible and you'd like to use a Bible, we have Bibles available right there by Steve. Steve is a handsome man in the blue shirt. And so if you need a Bible, you just want to raise up your hand, he'll bring one right to you. But we're opening up to John chapter 13. We're going to finish up with John 13. We're going to look at John 14. Catch this. This is exciting stuff. So Jesus, we're going to back up. Jesus says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I'm leaving, and you can't come with me. And then he goes into this, a new command I give to you. And we find that as soon as he says, love one another, Simon asks him, not, okay, how do I love better? How do you want me to love people? He's not asking that. He's saying, wait a minute. Where are you going? What's going on here? And sometimes we look at this and we kind of get hard on Peter saying, Peter, you're so thick-headed. And maybe he was. But we lose touch a little bit with where Peter's come from and really what Peter's was driving Peter and what Peter's passionate about. But Jesus replies to him and says, where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow me. And catch again. Peter asks, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. And we're going to spend some time and we're going to look at this. But it's important for us to understand. Remember last week when I challenged you guys to talk to Joey about disciples and rabbis? Did anyone do that? No one? Okay. Well, I'm going to lay it out for you. This is what Joy would have told you. All right? So we have the disciples. They would have been called by Jesus to follow him. Jesus is the rabbi. We now have 12 people that Jesus has called to be like him. But what's fascinating is when we look at the Jewish history, a rabbi would have called his disciples usually right around that age of 12. That was coming to age moment for them. And how a rabbi would pick his disciples is he would look for the best and the brightest ones he could find and the ones that he thought could do what he does in such a way that they would look like him. They would, in a sense, be recognizable as to whose disciples they are based on what they did. Do you follow that? So in other words, if I choose, I'm going to use Joey here again, okay? Let's say I'm a rabbi. I know I'm not really. But Joey is going to be my disciple. I have chosen Joey. Let's say you're 12 years old, okay? I have chosen Joey because he's brilliant. I have chosen Joey because I look at him and it's like, I think Joey can do what it is that I do. I think, in other words, I think that what Joey can do looks like me when he does it. In other words, it points to me. I am the teacher. I want my student to be like me. That was the tradition. And so disciples would want to be like their rabbi. That was their, when they were called by the rabbi, all right, I want you to come and follow me. Yes, Rabbi. And he would come and he would do everything that he could to become like his rabbi. And so what we find here is now Jesus has gone and he's called his disciples. And he picks guys that are not 12 years old. He picks guys that are leftovers, if you will. They haven't been selected. In other words, that means that they were not the best and the brightest. All right. It is believed that Peter was the oldest. He's estimated to be maybe 19, maybe 20, young man yet, but Peter's supposedly the oldest. And so he's well beyond his prime discipleship years, and yet Jesus calls him. He calls him as a fisherman. He says, come and follow me. And so Peter, I mean, this is 7 years after his opportunity would have passed him, is now faced with a rabbi who says, you want me? You want me to follow you? You want me to become like you? And Peter says, okay. And he goes and he follows Jesus. And now the dynamics that I think that we would find as Peter being the oldest, you know how it is sometimes. All right, I'm the oldest here. I need to set the example. I think we see some of that in here. That's my opinion. It's not written in Scripture, but I think that some of that very likely could exist where Peter sees himself as like, all right, I'm the oldest. I need to kind of set the standard. And so we oftentimes see Peter, somewhat personality, somewhat age, and certainly his desire to follow Christ. We see him through his life, and he takes these different moments, and you see him throw himself out there. For example, you remember one stormy night when the disciples were all in a boat, and Jesus says, I'll meet you on the other side, while Jesus isn't with them. And then here they suddenly see what they think is a ghost walking across the water. You know, we don't see Philip. We don't see Andrew. We don't see John saying, all right, Lord, if it's you, call to me and I will come and follow you. We see Peter setting that standard, saying, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come so that I will follow you. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter, who wants to be like Jesus, who wants to be like his rabbi, chooses to step out of the boat and take a few steps and, like I think most of us would, kind of a little bit freaks out and begins to sink. But it was Peter who was wanting so badly to become like Jesus, to be like Jesus in the sense. Not in a sinful sense where trying to overtake, but to be like him. We see it several other times. One time in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, I want to say it's chapter 16, Jesus is laying out how he's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer. And Peter hears him talking like this, and Peter says, Jesus, in other words, don't talk like that. You know, I'm not going to allow that. You know, even if I have to fight for you, I will fight for you. I will die for you. We can't happen. Let's go in. Let's take them. We don't have to submit to the suffering that you're saying that you're going to have to. And what's Jesus' reply? Get behind me, Satan. In other words, don't tempt me. Yes, I have that power. Yes, we can do what you're saying, but don't tempt me. But again, what we see is Peter, in a sense, trying to lay it out. I want to be just like you. I want to be right by you as you take your kingdom. I want that. And we see it a couple times here now. We see it as he's in the upper room. Remember when he was washing the feet? You know, oh, don't just wash my feet. If I can't have no part, I should be doing this for you. And Jesus says, no, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Well, Peter, I want to have everything to do with you. And says, well, don't just wash my feet then, wash my hands and head as well. You know, he's so interjected, he just misses the point so many times. And it's not to be critical, but just grab an understanding of where Peter's passion is, because it's for Jesus, and he wants everything to be like him. And so Jesus says, you don't need that. You just need the feet. It's okay. And we see it again. Jesus says, you guys are all going to scatter. He's laying it out right after. This is a new command I give to you. I'm leaving. Peter's like, you can't leave. If you go, what's going to happen to me? I want to stay with you. I want to follow you. I'll follow you anywhere, even to the point of death. As you catch Peter's passion over and over again to be like Jesus, and in that midst, so now we can maybe understand a little bit as to what's driving Peter. And yet, there's such compassion and love that Jesus has for him. And as Peter says, I will follow you. I would die for you. Then we see Jesus' response to Peter in that moment. So Peter says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow, but you will follow me later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you? You've called me to be your disciple. Why won't you let me follow you? I would lay down my life for you. Jesus answers this. I don't think it's condescending as much as it's compassion. Jesus answers this way. Will you really lay down your life for me? Jesus knows Peter's heart through all of this. He knows Peter's loyalty. And yet he knows that this is going to be an area where Peter falls. And yet he shows him this and he says, really? Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before this night is over, before that rooster crows, before this night is over, you're going to disown me. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny the fact that you even know me three times. And yet you say, you want to be my disciple. In some ways, I think Peter's not much different than I am. He's not much different than many of the followers of Christ that we encounter throughout our everyday lives. We all desire to follow Jesus in that way. But what's fascinating, as soon as it sometimes gets difficult, we find ourselves pulling back. We find ourselves disowning. We find ourselves denying. Maybe not in the literal verbal sense, but certainly in the ways that we act, in the ways that we carry ourselves. Peter is a disciple of the Messiah. He's the disciple of God, and he wants to do everything. He wants to be evaluated based on his loyalty to Jesus. It is said of Peter that good intentions in a secure room after good food are far less attractive in a darkened garden with a hostile mob. You know what I mean? In other words, basically what that statement is saying about Peter is that when you're comfortable, when you're well-fed, we're gathered here to now, we're not being threatened, it's easy for us to say, I will follow Jesus no matter what. But suddenly you start peeling away the layers of protection that we have, and you find Peter in a place where Jesus has just been arrested, and now he's facing hostility. It's a little bit easier to see. I'm going to be asking my children to come up here in just a moment. I have a little illustration I want to do with them. They're going to love me for it. Somewhat they're going like, no way. But this is going to be the best sermon that they've ever heard. Okay? I know, right? And you're like, what? Anyway, so before I have all four of them come, and this is, Isaac is going to totally hate this. Isaac, can you come first? You won't regret it. Well, you might. It's not that bad, though. It's not that bad. I'm going to ask Isaac a question. Kim, can I just have a microphone just to make sure that he hears? I'm going to take the blue one. Okay? You get a microphone. I'm going to hold it, though. I'm not going to let you hold it. Okay? Bad things happen when you give a microphone to someone who is not supposed to have one. Okay? So I'm going to hold it here. So Isaac, I just want you to tell them, who am I? Don't use my name, just like who I am to you. You understand what I'm saying? You have some time to think about it? Think about it. You got it? You're already set. Okay, here we go. All right. Who am I?
My father.
Oh, good. That was a good answer. Okay. Now, what would it take for you to say, I'm no longer your father? Would you ever say that to me? Never. Would you ever? Are you sure? And this is where the rubber meets the road. Look at here. Oh, woo, Dad's rich. They're all singles. I just grabbed, you know, I was like, could I get 21s, please? It really makes my wallet feel thicker. Okay. Think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Okay, what about for a dollar? Would you say, you're no longer my dad for a dollar? Really? Are you sure? What about two? I have $2. Remember the 21s? Ooh. Would you do it for $2? Wow, never. You wouldn't ever do it, would you? Never, ever. What about five? Multiplication. Okay. You wouldn't do it for five? What? Are you serious? Let's see. What else have I got in here? Wow, Dad is so rich. He's like super. Oh, look at there. Found a 10. Would you say I'm no longer your dad and hurt my feelings so deeply like that for $10? Notice I threw in the guilt there because now it's getting valuable. It's like, no, I don't want him to take it. Okay, would you do it for 10? Oh, he said no. I'm so relieved. Whew, that was close. I could tell he was kind of thinking about it a little bit longer. Uh-oh. Oh, dear. This is putting myself on this here. Would you do it for 20? Are you sure? Would you do it for 20? Oh, all right. Okay. Don't touch it. I'm just going to have you go sit in the front there. I'm going to have your sisters come up in just a second. But you see, you could kind of sense it, couldn't you? It got a little bit tougher. I was like, I feel so weird. He's got a fistful of money. He's got like $20 there. But you could kind of sense, oh, it's getting a little bit more serious. Would you do it for $100? I didn't have $100, so what are you going to do with that, you know? You wouldn't do it? Are you sure? I don't know. It's easy for you to say. What if it was staring right at you? Would you do it for $100? Would you do it for all of this? Oh, yeah, right. No, I believe him. That's why I picked Isaac, because I picked one of the girls. I'm telling you, Eric would have grabbed it and ran. Okay? That's really just the way it is. So anyway, so I picked Isaac. Isaac, he's probably the most aware, well, I shouldn't say the most. He's a fairly aware spender. And so I felt I could handle that. Okay, but you get an idea as to where, how it gets difficult when we start facing these other circumstances, when other things, other layers start being peeled away. Wow, that got really hard for Peter. And so it's easy for us to say, I would never do that to Jesus. I would never disown him. I would stand firm, and I hope that I'm right. But when it really comes down to it, I pray it's got to be the Spirit's strength in me, because my human strength, I don't think I could do it. My human strength can't, but I believe the Holy Spirit in me can. And so what we find then, as we look at this scripture, we're going to see how Jesus gives this gift to even Peter, to all of them. He gives this gift. And Peter's missing the whole concept of what this gift even is. But he lays it out there, and he's gonna share more than just the gift of compassion. He gives this gift of grace, and we find that it even goes deeper. So now, girls, I need you to join Isaac and come on up. No, it's so exciting. They're marching. You guys should be in a single file line, shortest to tallest, because that would be super cute for a picture. Wouldn't that be awesome? Erica, Isaac, you can come back up there. We need to have you in front so everyone can see you. You're in front. Isaac, you should come over here. Oh, aren't they nice? That's right. They're so pretty, not you. Don't misunderstand. I wouldn't call you that to your public. Okay, maybe in private. Your mom would call you pretty, maybe. All right, anyway. So Jesus offers this gift. And so what he does, did you guys do anything wrong this week? Did you? I'm not going to make you say what it is, so you can be confident. I'm not going to tattle on you. Have you done anything wrong this week?
Yes.
Did you? Can you think of what it is? Can you think of what it is? Well, you should think harder. I can think of several things right off the top of my head. Did you do anything wrong this week? Yeah. Did you do anything wrong this week? Yes. So I'm going to give you guys something. Okay, look at this. Wow, he's got all kinds of ones. I'm giving them money. Here's what they don't know. I know where they sleep. I know where they keep their money. So I can give them as much as I want, and I can take it back tomorrow. Okay? You'll all be at school tomorrow. It's free. I can give them all kinds of stuff. Anyway, okay, you guys did something wrong. There you go. Am I rewarding you for what you did wrong? Nope. I'm rewarding you despite what you did wrong. Did you guys do anything, like, you know, mean to your mom this week? Yeah. But yet, despite the fact, I know he's just handing out money. Despite the fact that you guys were mean to your mom, I want to give you this. Were you mean to me this week? Probably. Okay. But despite the fact that you were mean to me this week, I'm going to give you this. Despite the fact. Uh-oh, I'm out of singles. There we go. Wow. This is the best sermon Dad's ever given. Were you mean to each other this week? Yeah, that one was easy to answer. Yeah. Despite the fact, listen to me, despite the fact that you were mean to each other this week, I want to give you this. Isn't that something? Do you guys deserve that? Did you do anything to deserve that?
I did give you peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, that's way worth it. Unreal. Did you do anything to deserve that this week? Did you deserve this week? Did you do anything to deserve this week? Did you do anything to deserve that? Nothing. You guys can go sit down. I'll take the money later. We don't get it so many times. We mess up over and over. And I know this from my own self, and I know that I'm not alone in the reality that, okay, so I've messed up. And then I believe in this reality that, no, I don't deserve it. God would never give to me. And so we disconnect his goodness, and we think that it's got to end in punishment because that's what happens when we sin. There should be punishment, and oftentimes there is consequences. I'm not saying that there's not, but it doesn't diminish the gift that he's given. And he gives it, and he gives it, and he gives it. And it's grace, and it's grace, and it's grace. And I've done nothing to deserve his grace. If you think you're here and you deserve God's grace, you're wrong. Yeah, I know that was a dogmatic statement, but you are. I mean, that's just the way it is. Scripture teaches that. I feel like I can say that confidently. If you think you've done something, I have done it. I have earned God's grace. Sorry, you missed it. Okay? You can't. What we deserve is the opposite. We deserve condemnation. We deserve death. And yet what he gives is the opposite. And he gives it freely. And that's what we find in the scripture. Because catch this now, okay? Peter misses it. You see, he's challenging them, you guys love one another. We're going to see something here now in this passage of scripture that really should blow our minds and impassion us to now live our lives in such a way that he wants us to live when we fully understand the gift that he's given. So let's look at your Bibles here again. We've kind of wrapped up chapter 13. And we're up to chapter 14. We're not going to go through a lot of it, but catch these words now. All right? Peter says, where are you going? Where I'm going, you can't come. I would die for you. Really? You're going to disown me before this night is even over. Three times. Not just once, but three times. And then he goes on, and Jesus says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm leaving. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is about ready to suffer and die a gruesome death, and yet his thoughts and his love is for his guys, his disciples, his children. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, here's part of the gifts. He just keeps lavishing this gifts to them. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the place that I'm going. I think whether Peter knew it or not, Peter would have said he knew where he was going. You know, Peter, where is he going? Oh, he's going to Galilee. And Peter would have been way off. However, Thomas, we see something totally different. Thomas, we see his personality come through here, and Thomas is not afraid to say, okay, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We have no idea where you're going. You have not told us where you're going. How would we know that? And Jesus answers, we've heard this passage before. Listen to it with fresh ears and a fresh open heart. Listen to what Jesus says to him. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we're going to finish this, and then we're going to pause. We're going to come back to it. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Jesus does not say, okay, I'm a way, I am a truth, I am a life, but he adds this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In a sense, there had been no way, and there is no truth outside of him, and he lays it out, I am it. There was no way, I am making a way. And suddenly now here it is before you. I am making a way for you. And he lays it out for them. And not only that, and he also adds, and I want you to grasp this. He says, I am the life. I think sometimes, followers of Christ, we act, and this is large group, not narrow here. I think sometimes we act more like corpses than we do as living beings. I know sometimes that's hard to hear. I know that for me, sometimes I act more like a corpse when I'm going through the grocery store checkout line and I have shown no appreciation, no love, no care to the people that have been around me, either in the store, in the checkout, wherever I'm at, and I act more as a rotting corpse than I do as a living follower of Christ. We have been promised life, not a walking corpse. I think we need to remember that. I think we need to realize that. So then, Philip, and this is where... Oh, this is amazing. Okay, so be ready for amazing. Okay? Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And just like, I don't know why it's just like, oh, Jesus, show him to us, and that would be enough. That, no, what, that'd be enough. That'd be awesome. Okay? But Jesus says this, and this goes so perfectly with what we just talked about last week. And so I want you to parallel the two. Here we go. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Here's the thing. This is the parallel. This is what Jesus is saying. Philip, disciples, this whole time, you've been following me. And as you've been following me, what have I been doing but pointing you to Jesus, or to God? I've been putting God on display in my life. And so when you have seen me, you've seen the love that I have for people, you've seen the miracles that I've done, all I've been doing over and over and over again is pointing your eyes to God. I'm putting God on display through my life. If you've seen me, I have such a connection with him, I am such a follower of God. If you've seen me, you've seen God, because it's that transparent. And what's beautiful about it is just a few verses before, Jesus says that's exactly what we are supposed to be doing with him. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Because when you love one another, they will know that you're my disciples. Our job, our calling, is to put Christ on display with our lives. So that wherever I go, Christ is on display in me and living in me. Christ is on display. And when Christ is on display here, God is on display here. You see that? I mean, that's an amazing parallel that Jesus basically lays out. Okay, here's what I need you guys to do. Love one another, because when you love people, they're going to know that you are my disciples. And what we have, Jesus saying, in other words, you need to be doing what I've been doing with the Father. You've seen him. I want people to see me as you have seen him. And that's just dynamite. If that doesn't get you excited, you might want to check your pulse, because That's pretty much awesome. And that's what we're being called to do as followers of Christ. It's gifts. He lavishes on us this gift of grace. Everything that we see in this world in its goodness is pointing back to God. Everything that we see in scriptures is designed and is pointing back to God. The scriptures were not written just for the sake of so what. It wasn't just, let me run. Here's the thing. I'm going to give you guys some scriptures. There's some rules I'd like you to follow if you're okay with that. But there's a design to what it is that he's written in the scriptures. There's a design to what his truth is. And his truth is, in other words, here's these scriptures. You know what they do? They point to me. They point to me as your creator. They point to me as your God. Yes, there's some things that I really want you to look at and to know and to live by. And it's not just so that you're all good and well. There's some truth to that. But so it's when you look at it and you live by what I've given here, you know, not only does the scripture point to me, but then so do you. And so we open the Word of God and we take the Word of God in and we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. We allow that life, that new life to grow in us, the gift to then be expressed by His love. We receive and experience His love so that we can express His love. And be someone who can put God on, put Christ on display. So may you see that you are a gift. As Jesus was a gift to us, we also are a gift to the world by which they can see the Father through us. Just as Jesus was a gift to us to give us salvation so that we can see the Father, we are now a gift to the world to be able to present the Father, to put Him on display in our lives. So may you come to see that the Father wants to be displayed in your life. May you come to see that the Father wants to be displayed in everything that you do. As you choose to love one another, may you put Him on display. Let people see Jesus. Let people see the love that He has for you. Let people see the love that He has through you. Let people see the love that you have for them, that He has for them, by putting Him on display. It starts with the love. It's expressed through that, as we love Him and we love people. So may you put Him on display, not only this week, but as we choose to continue to follow Him. Let's live our lives to put Him on display.